to the WyoNation.com podcast, the only podcast dedicated to University of Wyoming athletics.
You are listening to the WyoNation podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith, and joining me, as always, is the founder of WyoNation.com, Mr. Brad Reed.
Hello there. It's good to be back with the podcast again this week after you decided to tank your Dodgers last week.
That's right. I spent a week in Los Angeles soaking up the sun, eating some very healthy Californian food, drinking some very good California micro beers, and watching the Dodgers lose like 18,000 games in a row.
It's okay. They're not done yet.
It's a long season, and that's baseball, but we're here to talk football, Brad, as the Wyoming Cowboys are now two games into their season, opening the season since we last talked to you with a loss at Iowa, but rebounded nicely in the home opener with a win against FCS foe Gardner-Webb. So we're here to talk about some observations that we've seen through these first two games on defense, offense, and the special teams. And then in the back end of the show, we will talk about aquatic creatures or semi-aquatic creatures. I don't know.
Sounds fishy.
No, well, they're not fish. But you all catch the drift. So, all right. So, let's get going here. Again, the loss at Iowa, the win at Gardner-Webb. Let's break this down, I guess, by units. And that first unit would be that Wyoming Cowboy defense, Brad. What do we know about the Wyoming defense after two games?
I think it would be fair to say that the defense looks considerably better than last season. They look a little bit better against the rush. They're, you know, Andrew Wingard and Logan Wilson are basically picking up where they left off last season. And I think as a unit, they look more disciplined. I think they're getting into the backfield a lot more this season. We're seeing marked improvement under Scotty Hazleton so far.
That's right. Yeah, that's the big thing that jumps out to me is the consistency of this defense and their overall improvement. They're passing the eye test, and it all starts with the big guys up front on the defensive line. Most everybody's healthy. You got Granderson, you got Prosser on the edge. And then you got the rotation of those big guys that we talked about in the first podcast who are really clogging up the middle and really stopping the run.
Yeah, Kevin Prosser, he's looking like a very, very good player so far this year. Carl Granderson's picking back up where he left off before he got injured last season. Ioana Gaffon, he's becoming quite the presence in the middle of the defensive line, as it were. I mean, they're looking much better up front this year. Having a bigger, healthier Carl Granderson is the key to that unit for sure.
And then the defensive backs who have always played pretty well, now that with the front seven being better, being able to apply a little bit of pressure, they look even better in coverage because they're not having to cover these extended plays that Wyoming have been burnt on so many times in the past.
Yeah, Andrew Wingard, you know, he's currently leading the team in tackles. He's got an interception on the year. Rico Gafford's got an interception this year. So there's a lot of hope for the secondary. I mean, they've been under a lot of pressure the last two, 3 years to perform. And in the Mountain West with the sometimes pass-heavy attacks, it's not the easiest to, you know, be relied on for 12 games a season to make a big play when they need it. And, you know, now with the emergence of Logan Wilson and the guys up front, it's much easier for all of them to, you know, play within themselves and make a big play when we need it.
Yes. And I think that's the thing too, is they're playing within themselves as a unit. And that's one of the things that the players have talked about in the post game against, after the Gardner-Webb game, the players were all saying Scotty Hazleton has done a great job of just simplifying the system to put the players in a position to not have to think and just go out there and make plays. and you're seeing it. So right now, I mean, Scotty Hazleton's your leader in the clubhouse, as far as I'm concerned, as Mountain West assistant of the year.
Yeah, he's making a big difference. And, you know, kind of something that didn't get talked about a ton coming into the season is, you know, Wyoming lost their strength coach, and it was, how are these guys going to, you know, keep up, you know, with their bulking and, you know, getting bigger and faster and stronger and adjusting to a new defensive coordinator. And, you know, everything seems to be, you know, kind of on track for him so far. And, you know, even already the team's forced 5 fumbles on the season, which, did we have that many last season? Maybe.
Yeah, they did. I don't know. I mean, they remember last year's defense, even though they gave up a ton of points, they made plays when they had to force some turnovers and key moments. So they did force a lot of turnovers. It's just that they allowed a lot of points as well. Now that you did mention the strength coach, and I know we have a lot of people on the board talking about the strength coach. I've seen Twitter talking about the strength coach, and people are asking, why don't we have a strength coach? So let me just put this out there. You're not going to find someone who's going to leave their program as late in the summer as when we lost our coach to come in and take over. So, again, we'll have a strength coach probably maybe in December, probably in January, though. So look for December, January for us to bring someone in from another program, because no one of any quality is going to leave their football program that late in the year. And that's why it was a blow to lose the strength coach. But as far as I've heard, nothing has missed a beat. There's still strength coaches for all the other sports that are there. So it's not like they're not being coached or being taught by people who know what they're doing.
Well, and to add on to that too, I mean, the difficulty of hiring a strength coach, you know, in, you know, early August is very difficult because Wyoming doesn't pay enough money to just lure a guy to come work for us. So there's a lot of reasons why we don't have one yet. And I'm sure that Bull and crew and they'll make the right decision, you know, come September and January.
That's right. Yeah, I'm sure with the connections that Bull has, especially at Nebraska, who is world famous for their strength and conditioning program, they'll get somebody quality. And it wouldn't surprise me this time if it's somebody with Nebraska ties. All right. So that's some talk on the defense here. Let's talk about the offense. What have we seen from the offense after these first two games? What jumps out to you?
I think what jumps out to me is the running back by committee so far. I think we kind of expected that going into the season, but the rushing attack just hasn't been really, really effective yet. And we thought that might be a strength for the team coming into the season. And I don't know if we're, you know, I don't know if we're seeing it yet or not.
No, we're definitely not. And that is a topic that we'll delve into here in further detail as we continue talking about this Cowboy football team. So, yeah, you have the struggles in the run game. But when you look at the passing game, Josh Allen had a nice bounce back game after Iowa, throwing for over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 68% passing, which is his highest percentage in a game in his career so far. So, again, it's an FCS school, but you could see the throws they were making, those deep outs, where you're throwing, you know, a 10 or 15-yard timing route where that ball has to be on time and it has to be in the perfect place. And he's got a big boy arm to be able to do that. And when you see those throws, those out patterns just by the sticks, that's why he will be an NFL first-round draft pick, because there's a lot of quarterbacks who can't make that throw.
Yeah, that ball comes flying out of his hand at a pretty high velocity. So, you know, he can make those NFL throws. You know, he can go, you know, hash to sideline, to the opposite sideline very easily. And like Chad said, you said, there's NFL quarterbacks out there that don't make that throw very well.
Yeah, and Coach Bull mentioned that in his post game about, again, with this running game, and I guess I'll save it now, but he was trying to just say the balance, right? He said it's a little hard for them to be as balanced as they want when they're trying to find their feeling with these new running backs. But at the same time, he recognizes that he has a quarterback who's as good as anybody in the country. And he said that Josh Allen makes you defend parts of the field that defenses don't want to defend, because he can make every throw.
Yeah, that's totally true. He, you know, and Josh Allen, he, you can defend every part of the field, but he's still a threat to go taken off running with the football. He doesn't have a single rushing yard yet this season, but he is a threat to go running with the football if he needs to.
Yeah, and that was the next point I was going to make. I'm a little surprised. I don't know if it's by design that he hasn't been featured as much in the running game. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that we can't get the run game, the traditional run game, through the running backs established. And they probably don't want him to get smoked like he did against Iowa. Remember, on the designed runs he had, he was getting creamed behind the line of scrimmage and at the line of scrimmage. So I think in the Gardner-Webb game, they basically kind of took that off the table, but it's something that we may see this coming week against Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon presents a whole different set of challenges for this Cowboy team for sure. Oregon has looked very, very good so far this season, and that's kind of scary. They're
Yeah,
looking like the Oregon of old, but with a better defense.
so we'll get into that more. Again, this offense, I think a lot of there's a lot of people talking about they're upset, I guess, and shocked that the offense has not scored a lot of points. If you look, it's very early yet, but if you look at the points in the Mountain West, we have the worst offense in terms of points per game in the Mountain West. We only put up 27 against Gardner-Webb. It's because, but the passing game was good against Gardner-Webb. It's just that we couldn't get the run game going. But again, we'll get into that in our next segment. So I think everything, as you can see, is circling back to this run game, and I think that's what's going to make the balance. And that's what made last year's offense so good, is that we had Brian Hill and Josh Allen, and you couldn't,
Complemented with Sean Wick as well.
yeah, and you couldn't key in on other of those. And then we had experienced wide receivers. Now, it's very good to see this weekend both CJ Johnson and Austin Conway had over 100 yards in the first half of the game.
That's the first time we've had two receivers over 100 yards since the Northern Illinois opener last fall.
Correct.
And,
So.
you know, back to Josh Allen, you know, he had his first 300-yard game, or his second 300-yard game in his career, which is kind of hard to believe if you think about it.
Well, it isn't because we were balanced. When you have the all-time leading rusher at your university, you don't need to throw the ball as much. So they may have to rely on his arm a little more than they want to, and Bowl even said that. So we'll see. It's going to be very interesting to see how this offense evolves over the next few weeks as they get a better handle of their personnel and putting together packages that highlight their abilities.
And one thing you didn't mention here was, you know, with the running back by committee, the coaching staff this past weekend pulled the red shirt off of Trey Woods and tossed him into the game and gave him the football for a couple of carries. So
Yes.
converted from a linebacker.
Yes, and we're going to get into that. So, all right. So that's the offense. All right, let's talk special teams. Now, of course, we all know about the whiff heard around the world.
Now, what happened?
Poor Tim Zaleski in the Iowa
He got
game.
over it.
He did. He bounced back. He was very professional about it. But I tell you, I had people that I haven't heard from in years blowing up my phone on that day, texting me, "What's wrong with your punter?"
Nothing. This is totally normal. It's all fine.
Yeah, no panic.
Everything is totally okay.
So he bounced back and had a good game against Gardner-Webb. I think he had three punts within the 20, and I think even two within the 10, maybe. I know he got one
He
inside
had
the five.
a couple inside the five. He averaged almost 39 yards a punt over five punts. Had a long of 42. So, I mean, it's a pretty good bounce back game. Three inside the 20. We'll take it.
Yeah, and that number's not great, the 39, but again, he's a freshman. He's going to add some weight. He's already a big kid. He's going to add some muscle. He's going to be, when he's a senior, he's going to be a big punter.
He could be the Jared Lorenzen of punters.
He's going to be a big punter, and I bet he'll be booming. His average will be closer to 45 yards a punt when he's
Well,
a
and
senior.
if you looked at his punts from the Gardner-Webb game, I mean, he was pinning him inside the, you know, 20, 5 yard line, whatever, because the Cowboys were kind of stalling out, you know, kind of midfieldish, and
No, you're right. Yeah.
so you know, skews your punting stats a little bit.
It does. Other special teams wise, Cooper Roth has continued to have a nice season so far. Still, he looks much improved.
Yeah, he's still banging them through. He's 3 of 4 on field goals and 3 of 3 PATs. That's about all we can ask for.
Including a partially blocked kick that he still got through against Gardner Webb.
I don't know how that ball made it through the uprights, but
and it was down the middle too. Still,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He's got really good aim for a ball being blocked.
And then I guess we should also talk about Austin Conway on punt returns. He had a pretty electric when he gets the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I thought it was. I found it hilarious that Gardner Webb kept kicking to him. It's like, what are you guys doing? Shank it every single time because he's going to run it down your throat every single time. But they kept punting it to him, and he kept returning them. So what's he to do?
He will score a touchdown this year against somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a long of 45 yards on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It was his longest return.
All right. Well, we've been talking about it pretty much throughout the show here. So let's talk about this running game. And what Wyoming can do to get it better. Now, I will tell you, to know how good of a coach we have here, I'm sitting in the press room after the game. We're waiting for Coach Bull. He comes right in and says, hey, we're going to enjoy this win. And one of the first comments out of his mouth was, our run game was abysmal. So he understands. And he said, we're going to look at film, and we're going to fix the running game.
You know, that there's the running game is a multiple part problem. You've got a series of backs who have very rarely handled the football in their college career. Kellen Overstreet didn't even get the ball in his hand last year before he went down with injury. Or maybe he did, but he definitely had a season ending injury. We've got two new offensive linemen this year, I think, a new center and a new, and Velasquez coming in at tackle.
Yep, that's right.
So, you know, a couple of new offensive linemen, and I think guys are, I don't know, defenses are, seem to be ready for what we throw at them.
Yeah, but the numbers are pretty ugly if you don't know them. Wyoming has rushed the ball 58 times in the two games for a total of 124 yards, which is a 2.14 yards per carry average. That's pretty ugly.
Longest rush of the season is 13 yards.
And that's probably by Overstreet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. So, I mean, you look at the numbers. Overstreet's the leading rusher, 21 attempts, 57 yards, 2.7 a carry. You got Milo Hall, who's the starter. He's got 19 carries on the year for 43 yards. That's 2.26. And then we get to Trey Woods, who is a person that I was very high on coming into – in the recruiting season. Now, I thought they would use him maybe as that nickel linebacker. And that's where they had him training. But as you're right, they switched him from linebacker to running back. He gets two carries, 15 yards. Really not much to go by. But you can see he's a big kid. I do believe right now he's 6'3", 210. So he's a little tall, and you can see. But Coach Bull says that
he runs tall.
But he runs tall, yeah, which is good and bad for a running back, right? Because it gives you a big target for people to hit you.
Yeah, but they'll fix that problem with, you know, just a little bit of time on the field and experience. So.
Yeah, and but Coach Bull says they love his athletic ability, and they think, listen to this, they think that by the time he's a senior, he'll be 240. So think of a 6'3", 240-pound running back who could run like the wind and who is agile. That's scary.
Bring the pain.
So, yeah, Trey Woods was a great find. And in the postgame, he mentioned that he was very looking forward very much to playing Oregon. He's from Oregon, from North Bend, right? Not South Bend. We learned about North Bend. And he said that the Ducks offered him only a walk-on spot, whereas Wyoming offered him a scholarship, so he came to Wyoming.
Sucks to be the Ducks.
So we'll see. I bet he'll have a bigger role coming up in this Oregon game. So,
yeah, you know, and if Trey Woods runs like he does, as we saw, you know, a couple brief glimpses of it on Saturday, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Trey Woods and Kellen Overstreet handling the majority of the carries by the time the end of the season's here.
I'd say that's a very fair shot. Yeah, the problem we have, it seems to me, is we don't have anybody right now who can effectively run the balls in between the tackles. All of our runs are going outside, and we're not able to set the edge enough, because those guys have speed, but they're just not able to get to that corner quick enough, and they're too small to run through in between the tackles. And remember, Brian Hill was very versatile. He could run in between the tackles. You could argue that he was even better going outside. How many times did we see him run on that, you know, that little sweep and run a linebacker over on the sideline? So
he ran him over going between the tackles too. So
yeah, he did that too. That is a very fair point. But I mean, I'm not surprised by what I'm seeing here, because when you lose a player who was so important to your football team and so important in the history of your program, it's only going to be natural, especially at a place like Wyoming. It's not like we're lining guys up like Brian Hill, you know, at a conveyor belt to where when they graduate, you have a guy, you know, equally as good. We're not like an Alabama or a Penn State or whatever school you want to name.
The Texas Longhorns, you know, was kind of one of those running back factories where, you know, for every back that came through, they had another one waiting just like him to carry that. And unfortunately, we don't have that kind of a recruiting footprint in Laramie.
Not yet, but they're good at identifying talent, and I think Trey Woods has a very bright future. And I thought that long before this weekend. So I'm not just basing that off of two carries against a FCS school.
Yeah, if we go back in our podcast history, I bet we could probably find you mentioning that back last January, February.
Well, I don't know if we talked about it, but I definitely blogged about it. Which, be sure to check out wownation.com. We have fresh content throughout the week, getting you ready for football. We got Connor Cunningham doing his great work. Brad, you're doing a weekly Mountain West roundup.
Weekly Mountain West roundup, and hopefully some other content throughout the season.
That's right. And then on Fridays, of course, we have our 5-on-5, where we have the beat writers from the Wyoming Tribune Eagle and the Casper Star joining us in some prediction contests.
Yeah, we haven't fared so well on that so far, I don't think.
Way too early to get worked up about that.
It's a competitive game, man. You got to go against the spread.
All right. So let's get to it here. The Oregon Ducks are coming into town. The game is kicking off at 5 p.m. Mountain Time at War Memorial Stadium in Laramie. If you cannot make it there, the game will be televised on the CBS Sports Network. So that's where you get your TV fix.
I believe I saw Robert Gagliardi tweet today that there's only about 800 tickets left for the game. So if you don't have your tickets by now, you might be watching on CBS Sports Network.
It's going to be a packed weekend in Laramie. And so here's a little trivia for you to see if you can answer this. Since we do have a Pac-12 team coming in, let's do two Pac-12 related questions. Play along at home. If you can beat Brad, which you probably can, because he's not very bright sometimes.
Oh, wow. Wow, the gloves are off.
Yeah, you'll win a fabulous non-existent prize in your head. You could dream of, you know, receiving something very cool if you can beat Brad. So, all right, so first question one. Which was the last Pac-12 school to come to Laramie, and in what year?
Oof. Let's think here. So we probably can't include Utah and Colorado.
Yeah, that doesn't count because they weren't in the Pac-12 when they played us.
No.
And I don't think Colorado, or at least not in modern times, they haven't come to Laramie. They might have like in the 60s or something.
I'm going to have to go visit the new and improved college football data warehouse to get this answer. I actually don't know. If I have a guess, I'm going to say probably Arizona State.
Wrong.
That sucks.
Many of you out there may remember this game. It would have been in 1993. Does that help if I give you the year?
No.
1993. It was Oregon State Oregon State came into Laramie and beat the Cowboys. And I was actually at that game. That was shortly after my family moved to Wyoming, and that was one of the first Cowboy games that I've ever went to. In fact, it's the first one that I could really remember that's memorable to me. I'm trying to think. It may have very well been my first game because it was a season opener in 93.
I think, you know, if memory serves me correct, I think my first Cowboy game was probably about 93. It was a border war game. I remember there was lots of snow on the ground. I remember my mom yelled at me for not wanting to wear my snow pants.
Well, there we go. He was a rebel.
There's a long ago. There's a sad non sequitur into my life.
Okay. All right. One more question. Maybe you'll get this one. All right. Who is the last Pac-12 team that Wyoming defeated? This is a little bit easier.
You know, I think that's going to be UCLA.
There we go. The 2004 Las Vegas Bowl, where the Cowboys beat the Bruins. Very good, Brad.
Yeah, watch that football game from Goose's Bar in Warland, Wyoming, with all my high school friends on Christmas break.
There you go.
Very big Cowboy supporters down there at Goose's.
I would hope so. So, okay. So there you go. There's your trivia. If you played along at home and if you beat Brad, which you a lot of you probably got that first one, give yourselves a pat on the back. Brad will be sending your check in the mail very soon.
Who says it's not already in the mail?
Yeah, there we go. It might be. Okay, a little housekeeping here. Oregon comes to town as a 2-touchdown favorite. Minus 14 to Oregon. And when I look at this team, now you talked about the defense, and you might be able to talk a little more about it than I will, but I'll go on the offensive side of the ball. And this improved Wyoming defense is going to be put to the test. We're going to see how legit they are. Have you seen this running back, this Royce Freeman?
He's really, really good.
He's a beast.
I feel like he's been at Oregon forever. But yeah, he hasn't, and he's really good.
I think he's still only a junior.
Good God, why?
I don't know. Do you want to look that up for me?
I've actually got their page up right now.
Okay. Senior. But I can tell. Okay, he's a senior. Okay. Well, thank goodness. Well, I can tell you, but he's 6 foot, 238 pounds.
That's a load.
Big boy, and he's all muscle. That's not like, you know, the back in the day when he'd have like he's not like LeGarrette Blount big. He's all muscle, this guy.
So he's not like Eddie Lacy then.
He's not Eddie Lacy either, yeah. In the past two seasons, this current season, he's averaging 5.8 yards a carry, and last year he averaged 5.6 yards a carry. And then it seems Oregon's got another dynamic quarterback back in the midst after, you know, picking up every what was it? They're trying to pick up pretty much every FCS fifth-year senior transfer they could pick up.
I was going to say, I heard they had this pretty good quarterback once called Marcus Mariota. Heard, yeah, he was all right.
Him too.
You know, then the Vernon Adams and Dakota Prukop experiments didn't do them quite as well.
Yeah. But this new guy, he's not new. He played some games for him last year, but this Justin Herbert is a guy that the people who follow Oregon football closely says is a special player.
He's a giraffe. 6'6", 225.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's had a couple of pretty good games this year, it looks like. 25 of 33 for 365 and 3 touchdowns against the Blackshirts. It's a pretty good game.
Yeah. So we'll see. So the Wyoming defense is really going to be put to the test with this running back and quarterback combination of Oregon. And then on the defensive side of the ball, what have you seen from them?
You know, I haven't seen a ton of them. Their game against Southern Utah was on some, probably on Pac-12 Network or something. I don't know. But they blasted Southern Utah, scored 77 points on them. But, you know, against Nebraska, they beat Nebraska pretty good for three quarters, then something happened there in the last quarter or so that let the Huskers back into it. But they look like a good physical defense. They've got 6 picks on the year already, 7 sacks. Looks like their secondary is going to be very difficult to deal with for our young receivers and Josh Allen.
Yeah, and that's my fear.
They, you know, it's Oregon. They're always going to have super fast athletic guys. That's how the Duck program has been built for 10 years, and I don't see Willie Taggart changing that any. So, yeah, they're going to be tough to deal with.
No, yeah, and this is going to be tough. I'm actually kind of surprised that the Lions only at minus 14.
You know, what's funny is, you know, going into the season, you and I both were just like, you know, I think this is probably a pretty winnable game for us.
We thought that, yeah, on paper.
But you know, just that last season they had last year, you know, they just looked so terrible for so many parts of the season. And then, you know, they make the coaching change to start this season, and they look very, very good. They're going to be a very good Pac-12 team.
How come you couldn't just hang on to that crappy coach for just one more year? Just for us.
Well, Phil Knight's money talks, so I can't imagine he's going to stand for that for long.
No, I know. So this is going to be another uphill battle, and I know there's a lot of people who are really disappointed that we lost to Iowa, and I go, come on, people. You got to understand where we're at. Not to down talk on our team and our university, but Iowa plays big boy football. Oregon plays big boy football. So to beat the big boys, you have to play big boy football, and you have to play perfect, and we're just not at the point. If we had last year's offense with this year's defense, then maybe you might be able to talk. But right now, we unfortunately, things are just out of balance. And the defense is on the upswing, and the offense is on the downswing. And that's just the way sports go in general.
Yeah, every year is a rebuilding year. You know, you lose 10, 15 seniors, and, you know, it's a constant rebuild. And people don't realize that Iowa – They're a very big name in college football. They're not a, you know, an Alabama or Clemson type of team, but they are a team that probably wins 8, 9, 10 games every year. They've got one of the longest tenured coaches in college football right now. So, you know, that's Iowa and Oregon, you know, that they've got money to do everything they want to do. I mean, their football facility is probably the nicest building any of us would ever walk into. So it's a very different kind of football when you start playing up like that. And, you know, we saw those scores in the Mountain West last weekend where pretty much every Mountain West team got crushed last weekend by a Power 5 school. San Diego State was the only one to escape with a win. So it's the gap is, you know, getting a little bit wider between the Power 5s and the Group of 5s, and yeah, it's very difficult.
It is difficult, but we'll see. I mean, they have to come to Larrabee. You never know. Everything gets put together. It's possible, but we'll save predictions for Friday in our blog. So come back Friday where you'll have official predictions from all 5 of us associated with WyO Nation.
We'll have very good, predictions for Friday, I'm sure.
They will be outstanding. And just, I guess, enjoy the experience. It's going to be a great atmosphere.
Brought in temporary bleachers.
Yeah, it sounds like the weather is going to be pretty good. It might be in the low 70s, upper 60s, which is pretty dang nice.
You want to hear something hilarious?
Sure.
Laramie is known for their terrible weather at any time of year. You're expecting, you know, 70, 75, 80 degrees there in Laramie. Yeah, we're going to have a winter storm warning in Missoula this week.
Nice.
Pretty excited.
Are the Grizz in town?
The Grizz are in town.
Okay.
So hopefully we can get some snow on the ground and put these fires out up here so we can see across the street again.
Well, yeah, and we want it too because your fires are polluting Wyoming. All that smoke's coming down to Wyoming, dang it.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, put your fires out, you inconsiderate smokers.
You know, it's funny. You walk outside to go to work and whatever, it's like, I'm at like a, you know, a 6 tree a day limit here with my smoke intake.
Yeah, exactly. 6 trees a day. So, all right. I don't have anything else left on the agenda here. We kind of talked through it. Oregon's going to be some tough sledding, but you never know. That's why we play the games. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of game plan we come up with offensively and how the defense holds up. So this is going to be a good test. We'll get to see how good this Wyoming football team is. But again, it's not going to give us too many answers because if they get blown out, which is possible, you can't really hang your head and be doom and gloom.
Yeah, I was reading something today, and it sounds like, you know, the altitude might be in their heads already. I saw at one point today Willie Taggart was considering taking his team up to the mountains and having practice in the mountains. But then I saw he maybe backed off of that, and they aren't going to do that now. But, yeah, at one point this week he was considering taking his team to the mountains and going to go have practice at 4,600 feet or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe the altitude is starting to get in their heads a little, and you know maybe it'll neutralize some of their speed and conditioning, as it were.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I was thinking earlier today when we were talking about this, the altitude may neutralize the pace of their offense. Now I know he's not running the offense as quick as they have in the past, but they're still pretty quick, and so the altitude may get them to back down a little bit to not tire themselves out. So that's a pretty big advantage if the altitude even just does that.
Yeah, that'd be, you know, one thing too, is if we can, you know, pick up the pace of our offense a little bit and keep them on the field, you know, keep Oregon's defense on the field, I'm sure that would be a tremendous help for us too.
And that's why we need to get that run game going, to keep them on the field.
Yeah, a nice 7-minute drive would probably put that defense on its back.
So, yeah, as I was saying, we may see a whole lot of Trey Woods this week.
Hopefully an effective Trey Woods.
Running against the team that he wanted to go to, but they said, "You're not good enough, kid."
Have a gray shirt.
Yeah. Or not even that, a walk-on. So, all right. Well, thank you for listening to this podcast, boys and girls. I think we'll be back next week, as far as I know, to break this all down.
Yeah, I think we'll have a couple of things to talk about.
That's right. So we'll have the Oregon game to look back on, and then we'll have the Hawaii game would be next at home.
Yeah, just announces ESPN2 game.
8:15 kickoff, which is yuck.
You know, that's actually really unfair to us because, you know, an 8:15 kickoff is right in Hawaii's wheelhouse as far as the time of day goes.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's right in their wheelhouse, but, you know, at least that 8:15 game isn't like November 15th.
That's true. The weather should still be good. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, hopefully. We'll see. Hopefully the weather's good enough to where I can get there, where I can get back in time. Or not in time, but, you know, not get stranded.
Yeah, you've been stranded in Laramie before. It'll happen again.
I have, sure. Yeah. Well, if it happens, it won't be the first time, and it won't be the last time. So, all right, everybody. Well, thank you for listening to the Wild Nation podcast. For Brad Reed, I'm Chad Smith saying we'll see you next week.